السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Streaming Reels once again this beautiful Saturday morning. Alhamdulillah. Before we actually continue and discuss any further with regard to the wonderful rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, let us first welcome Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa nasajatibu ala to all our wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning.
How are you keeping, Adil?
Super, alhamdulillah. I'm at the moment in Maldivra, which is not far from Azadville. And where I was in Azadville, it wasn't raining, but in this part of the place, there's quite a bit of a drizzle. Now, you know, you were saying that the whole week we had rain.
I don't think we got that part. You said at the moment, where are you, Adil?
In Maldivraf.
Okay, right. Perfect.
Yeah, it's not far from Azadville. Sure. There's actually quite a few fishing spots around in this area that I managed to, you know, I came to check quite a few times while doing like a Sunday drive or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, no, Adil, in terms of the rain that we've been speaking about for the last week, alhamdulillah, you know, just looking at this information on the phone here with regard to the Vaal Dam level for today. And at the moment, it shows 93.67%. Right? So, or close to 94%. And if you just see a few months ago, I mean, not even, I think it was about exactly 4 months ago when we were saying 21% and 20% and you know, at that time I remember many people when the rains just started coming initially, and we said, you know, even if we hit the 50% mark this year, we should kind of be safe, and inshallah by next year, you know, it will be a bit better, it will improve. But yeah, subhanAllah, I mean, by this weekend now, they're already thinking of opening up certain gates at the Vaal Dam. At Bloemhof Dam, they'll open up close to 8 gates because they're saying the Vaal will be over 100%, Bloemhof will be then over 100%. And you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just makes things change overnight like this year. If we recall correctly, then a statement initially was made by the Minister of Water to say that, you know, it's going to take the next 4 or 5 years for the Vaal Dam to actually fill up again, and we need rain like this year for the next 4 to 5 years, and it's not just going to happen overnight. And subhanAllah, within 4 to 5 days, it's already close to 100%.
SubhanAllah, it just goes to show, you know, that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately, it's important for us to recognize that Allah ta'ala is the one who we need to turn to when we are in a crisis state. Not, you know, obviously everything that was done in terms of warning people and telling people to be careful about the water usage, etc., that obviously is 100% correct. And that doesn't mean also that because obviously the rain has come now, that now it's time for us to decide, oh, okay, we can leave our taps running or etc. You know, whatever best practices we've picked up during the time when there was a bit of a drought, we should try and continue with that, because obviously our deen teaches us this as well.
You know, it's very true. The thing is that at that time when we were starting to get the rain as well, then I think you know, yeah, also we were always giving the message on to our listeners that does not justify us now wasting water. It does not justify us now allowing the shower to just run unnecessarily, to just waste water while washing the vehicle. Like you said now, very true, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. I mean, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said that you would save water whilst making wudu by the river that is flowing as well. So even at that time, if the Nabi is showing the importance of saving water, then irrespective of now whether we have the rain or previously there was no rain, we as Muslims always got to be cautious, we always got to be thoughtful, never to waste water at any given time. So yes, the message still remains the same, that it does not mean that now we do have that water, because I mean, from what we hear, Adil, I don't know if you got any other information about it, but somebody was telling me in Cape Town the situation is very critical right now.
Yeah.
This is like very, very critical, you know. So things can happen overnight. We've got to keep on thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our side. But of course, now we know that the people in Cape Town that perhaps are facing water, shedding, they're going through difficulty. Let us lift our hands and make dua for them now as well.
100%. I was just going to say the same thing, that although we feel that we've got the water coming now, we should also consider those areas, because there are areas in South Africa where they're still going through quite a heavy drought.
Yes.
You know, it's not that the problem is solved now because the Vaal Dam is full and that's our main water supply. That's just for the Gauteng area. But there are other provinces as well which are still going through some sort of crisis in terms of water. And we've got to continue to make dua for them.
Mm. A little week before us, I think we actually owing our listeners some report back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I think we must start with you, because we were at Willow Express on Kemp.
Right.
You were on the water at Loskop Dam going for the Kerpas.
Okay.
So we want that we must hear from, like, the Barkat of the Molly shop, like, let's see. So basically what had happened was, you people planned to go to Loskop to do some skirt for fishing. How many people were in the crew?
Well, it was more of a family thing. It wasn't more of the guys that went out fishing itself. It was just family.
Right.
And it was myself, my father, younger brother, brother-in-law, and the kids on the boat.
Right.
But it so happened that my son then got quite ill that Saturday night, heavy fever and things like that. So Sunday then I never went out with them to go and fish again. But for that Saturday, I really, that we spoke. So till the time that we were speaking, which of course was around this time, 8:30, 9, we got to a certain area. Water comparatively to other areas were much cleaner. And we started fishing there. So at that time, yes, we were picking up, but relatively small fish. Of course, not what you're going to Loskop for. So we then gave it about another half an hour to 45 minutes, and I think at about 9:30 we then left from that area, and we got to another area, of course, where everybody talks about it at Loskop Dam, the cables. But in that vicinity, basically, it was. We then anchored at a certain spot, and I think not even 10 minutes after anchoring there, we started getting onto the much bigger fish now. The blues, basically. And throughout the day then we fished from that time onwards right up to about 1:30, 2 that afternoon. Then it went a bit quiet, of course, and that is your fishing overall, you know. So it went a bit quiet at that time, so we had some lunch, and at about 2:30, 3 we started again for the afternoon. And then we continued like this here. They were still on the bite. We continued catching them. It so happened closer towards Asr time, like about 4:30, 4, we then came out of the water and we took the much younger ones on the boat. But now we said we're not going to get right back to that area, because, I mean, for them now they're going to find it difficult. You're fishing with your float. It becomes a bit difficult. I'm talking of 3-4-year-olds now. So we got to another area in the grass where you just threw Adil and instantly, you know, they were just biting. And I think for the kids at that time, they were just wonderful, amazing for them, and not really small. This one I'm talking of, just slightly bigger than your pen sizes. Just slightly bigger than your pen sizes. So they were just like hooked onto it, and they were like really thrilled. So in terms of fishing for the day, Adil, the fishing was excellent, really.
How was the weather that weekend?
It was hot, Adil. Very hot. That Saturday was extremely, extremely hot.
So it was perfect extreme. Kerpa weather.
It was perfect Kerpa weather. Perfect. In fact, the entire day, I mean, that weekend there wasn't rain at all. That Friday as well, when we got there, the roads were totally dry. We got there quite late evening, so of course, just got in, settled with the kids. Saturday early morning, you were out on the waters. And then Saturday evening, I mean, the nice thing with Loskop, you have your hot water pools and you know, your private facilities. And it was very, very quiet. In fact, there were a lot of our own Muslim fishermen that were actually fishing on Sunday per se. Also Sunday, but of course, by the time they got through to the dam after work and, you know, whatever other family commitments they might have had, was Saturday late evening, so they came straight down for the braai and to the pools, and then on Saturday morning, then the majority of the guys were out in the waters again. But really, really, it was something good after a very long time. I think we got some good, decent kerpa like this.
Now, when you say the family, you mean the whole family, the ladies and the men as well?
Yes.
Oh, so it must have been a very nice experience.
It was more of a family experience, yes.
I know that that's one of the forever resorts, so it's comfortable for everybody, basically.
100%.
It's something for everyone to do, yeah.
Definitely. It's just somewhat different.
And then the chair on top, obviously, is that you guys murdered the Kerpas, like someone would say.
Yeah, I think that was the chair on the top. And after this, like I'm saying, it's been a long time. I think you asked Lukman the question there, that there's a very few dams now that we can actually go to here by us, yeah, and say we are catching some decent Kerpa. You know, I mean, your panties you're catching all over the show, but some decent Kerpa, there's a very few dams that we can actually go to get catch.
Yeah, it is a sad thing, because we used to have some very, very good Kerpa dams, you know, in the past.
Yes.
One particular one that I'm thinking of was Hamza Pier Spot, because I know people used to come from far and wide just to go and fish in Hamza Pier Spot.
Mm.
And particularly for the Kerpa there. But, you know, after the water condition change, and you don't hear reports, guys talking about Kerpa fishing at Hamza Pier like they used to in the olden days.
You know what, Ariwa, what I actually found slightly different from this time, the last cop fish compared to the last time. Now, the last time I'm talking a few years ago, where you actually caught some decent Kerpa like this. But you must have heard, you know, a lot of the fish were actually coming out deformed, or perhaps with an abscess or something. The fish were not really healthy coming out of last cop dam. Whereas this trip here, many of the fish, and I thought perhaps maybe if we are joined by Lukman or Muhammad a bit later on in the program, we can actually ask them this, but perhaps it's cleaned out now, the toxic waste that was in the dam previously, or because of the rains. I really don't know, but the fish looked much more healthier this time around. You know, previously, I won't lie, on your Kerpa fish, I wouldn't even take one out to actually take home to eat or even give anybody, because the fish just looked a bit sick.
They looked scary, yeah.
Yeah, it looked a bit scary. Whereas this time around, the fish actually looked healthy, they looked fresh. You know, it looked much more better, the fish itself.
So tell me now, did you people have Kerpa on the fry, or fried Kerpa or anything like that?
Well, I never had it on the fry the same day, but in the week we then had the one night. You know, nice dark shower and Kerpa was excellent.
You know what's very interesting? Because Kerpa, I mean, normally people like to eat sea fish.
Yes.
But the Kerpa in particular, I mean, we always talk about the catching of the Kerpa and what bait to use, and what rod to use and everything, but it's a very, very good tasting fish.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it's almost like an oily fish. You know, it's got a very, very good texture, and if you know how to prepare it well, you will never throw any Kerpa away.
Yes, 100%.
Those fish are very, very good eating fish. Obviously, like you said, you know, that time they were looking a bit scary because of the fear of the water quality and things like that. But now that you see the dal, you talk about the dal and rice, and the Kerpa in my mouth is watering, because I'm thinking of how my mommy, you know, you get these pan-sized Kerpas.
Yeah, excellent.
And you fry, she used to fry them so crispy. You could literally eat the bones as well, but obviously you wouldn't do that. But it was such a tasty fish, you know. And she always tells me, when you go fishing, bring Kerpas. But we always have a problem getting Kerpas, because, you know, that time when we went to Doran Dry, I think we went there and we had a few Kerpas, so I brought it home. And she was so excited, and she prepared those Kerpas. And, you know, it took me back to what we used to call the Nelspruit days. But beautiful fish to eat,
Masha. Yeah, like you say, it's very true, sir. It's not like before. And always, this is another thing. I mean, your pen sizes, you know. They don't call it pen size for any reason. But those pen sizes are actually much more tastier than your bigger fish.
No, 100%.
Much more tastier. Adil, tell us about your trip, Adil. What the kids, you know, briefly we spoke to one, two youngsters that day. We spoke to, I think it was Mona Pando as well. And I even said to Molana, I think you got to start experiencing some good fishing tips now from you, Adil.
What, Molana Pando?
I asked him, Molana, if you're not hooked on with Adil around there, you got to get hooked on very soon.
You know the problem with Molana Pando, and I don't know if he's listening to the program now. He is like one of the children, you know, that we took on the camp. It was hard to get him to sleep, to put him, you know, to take him out of the water, time to eat food. He was just one way what you shouldn't. And what I admire about it is the fact that here's an alim who is working in the township, and we went to his madrasa, you know, in Swanipal with the bus. And it's like basically the whole neighborhood or the whole town came out to see these kids that were going off with us when we were leaving for Willow Express that Friday afternoon. And he's, you know, you have to admire the work that somebody is putting in terms of the passion that he has, you know, when working with these kids. Because we had a long discussion also when we were coming back about the type of difficulties that you have in townships where, you know, kids, the environment is not right for them. So
yes,
you do all the effort that you have to do in madrasa, and then, you know, sometimes the kids come, sometimes they don't come. And one of the reasons for having a camp like the one that we had was to encourage these students of his, you know, that to show them Islam, to show them the outdoors, to show them something different so that you can just basically hook them. I suppose the pun, no pun intended, because it's a fishing program.
Yeah, yeah.
But you want to hook them in the sense that you want to keep them in the madrasa so that they come constantly and they learn. Because they've accepted Islam, they've understood that this is what they want to do. But because they go back to an environment at home where there's no deen, there's no Islam, and they constantly have their family members, you know, fighting with them and arguing with them about their choice of their deen. So bringing them out to Willow Express on that weekend, seeing them in their element, you know, I was totally blown away, because these kids, they don't need survival training, because they are survival, they are doing survival. They can teach you a couple of things in terms of how they built their shelters and how they made their fires, and you know, like there was one case, actually the whole weekend we didn't catch any fish.
Okay.
The only time we caught a fish was when I was showing them how to do a fish trap. And so what you do with a fish trap is you plant a stick in the ground, you put the hook with the bait, and then you set a trigger. And you leave it so that you can do other things. And we went off on the camp to do some, you know, like whatever the program is about. We were building shelters in the bush there. And one of the kids was just looking at that rod the whole time, and he tells me, you know, Molim, the trigger is set. There's a fish. They were so excited. So he ran there, and we fished too. I mean, we have rods fishing on Alamla with sponsors like Solly's Angler's Corner. And
sure.
We've got things there to use. And the kids were trying. They were trying really hard to fish. But the only thing that actually managed to hook a fish was the fish trap, which was sort of set there by example, you know, just to show you that's how you set a fish trap. But it was baited, and the fish took the bait.
Okay.
And they were so excited. They brought the fish, and they were showing. So I told them, "Right, what you gonna do?" They said, "No, we wanna eat it." I said, "Right, fine, come, let's prepare it." And we prepare it in a very, very, you know, like a bush style, taking the grass and wrapping it around the fish, throwing it into the fire, and they ate that fish with so much of relish. You know, it was amazing to just see how much of fun these youngsters were having. So I think for me, what I took away from that weekend was we need to appreciate, obviously, what we've got, because people who don't have what we've got, you know, when you see them and you see what it means to them, especially the kids, you know, you really have to sit back and say, you know, you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you've got. But the other thing that opened my eyes is, you know, it's difficult in those areas. But the contentment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives those youngsters and people coming from those areas, that's amazing. I mean, people might have big, big houses and cars, etc., but they can't say that they've got the same contentment where they can go to bed and sleep peacefully. And when you see these youngsters, you know, you start to think to yourself that, you know, what is it all about? Well, you know, what is life all about, basically?
Definitely. And I myself have a madrasa like this here in the informal settlements, and what you see, it's very, very different, subhanAllah. And really, you see that appreciation. It's something very, very different from the way we have actually brought our own kids up. in our societies and in our areas. But really, Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you guys. And like you say, I mean, of course, it was of course fun for the kids. It was something that I think they would never ever forget. They would really look forward to. But with all of that, I mean, it's definitely a bit of a sacrifice from your guys' side as well.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, when you weigh the reward and the amount of work that you put in, you know, you it's a pleasure to do that. You know, when it comes to feeding and when it came to, you know, doing the training and doing the courses and just sitting with the youngsters, showing them how to tie a hook, you know, they appreciate the time that you are giving them. And that, I think, is what makes it so rewarding. You know, you know that what you are doing is something that's really sort of having an impact on these children's lives. And I think, you know, at large as a community as well, and make sugar obviously, because we had, you know, quite a bit of sponsors that came through, you know, to put together a trip like that. They, you know, sponsoring the food stuff, sponsoring the meat stuff. Uncle Idris, from Willow himself, you know, he gave us such a huge discount. It's not even funny. I think we basically only paid for our light and water and electricity that we use for the weekend. But it's when the community comes together and they say, let us also help and assist, then at least, you know, we can give back something to those poorer communities.
Definitely.
So I'm just thinking now, you need to start booking for when you're taking your students also, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. I think it would be something good. I actually thought about it last week when you were telling me about it, and I thought this is something very, very interesting, something that, I mean, and any child would really, really look forward to something like this. And it could be a major, major turning point in their lives as well, Adil. It could be a big turning point in their lives.
100%.
Could be.
100%.
Okay, Adil, we got Luqman with us on the line. Let's catch up with some professionalism in this idea. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, you keep it, Luqman.
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum salam.
Luqman, I think early on in the starting of the program, myself and Alan was just saying that we can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for the abundant rain that we're getting. And I mean, just looking at the levels of the Vaal Dam in the last week, or I think since Tuesday, it was like rapidly just going up, like about 10%, 8% every day. And I mean, they talk of over 100% already by tomorrow, Luqman.
See, alhamdulillah, like you say, you know, I think all the listeners and all the, especially the fishermen out there, to straight away or as soon as possible get on to the musalla, and all of us need to make 2 rakat shukar namaz, especially for the wonderful rains that Allah has sent us. You know, just 6 months ago we were all making lots of dua, we were complaining, we were crying about the low dam level, and if you take, it's not even 4 months ago that the Vaal Dam was sitting at about 20-odd%, and if you look, like you say now, the last percentage I saw was about 88. So, alhamdulillah, like you say. And there's so many other dams. Vaal Dam is just one example. Almost most of the dams have taken in water. There's one or two, if you take an Oyster Kop, we were wondering why it's standing at about 20-21% consistently, but we've subsequently heard that there is a problem on the dam wall, or probably with the sluice gates or something. So water's just continuously running out, and that is a problem on a dam wall, because we couldn't understand why it's not picking up water. And then also I read an article about Zanin Dam itself. Zanin Dam, they've been keeping it fairly low. It's now at about 40%, because there is plans to raise the dam wall.
Okay.
So besides those two, and maybe an odd one here or there, the rest, alhamdulillah, have taken in. I've been checking the levels regularly. There's quite a few that hit the 100 mark already. So, like you said, alhamdulillah, we can't make enough shukr, but we should make at least 2 rakat shukr namaz, especially just for the water that's come through.
Well, what about Cape Town, Luqman? I say Cape Town, the situation is still currently very, very bad.
Geez, you know, we've been seeing the news reports. That's all I've been reading, and that's what you're seeing, very low. So inshallah, we must all make dua. It's our fellow Muslim brothers and fellow humans that are there. So we shouldn't just keep our du'as to our area. Let's
yes.
make du'a for the whole country, the whole continent for that, and for the whole world at large. So, inshallah, Allah sends them also abundant beneficial rain that will fill the dams also.
Ameen, inshallah. Luqman, what does it mean for the fishermen now?
Fishermen should be excited, you know, you should be grabbing your rods and reels. As long as you're not going to river systems which are flooding, you know, that's obviously very dangerous to fish in those. But as far as dam fishing, what happens, maybe just give it a week or so to settle down because a lot of the dirty water coming in, and that sometimes just put the fish off. The only fish that sometimes you may do very well now, what is best, what happened is with the increasing water, they got come into the shallows and feed into the flooded grass. So it makes some for exciting bass fishing in the next month or two where those bass will be in the grass. Same for karpa as well. You know, karpa like grass a lot. So they'll also be feeding actively. The downside is there's so much food, so you may not catch that many because they'll be, you know, they've just got so much food to eat. But if you do catch one, it's going to be a nice, healthy, fat fish, inshallah.
That's nice to hear that, you know, nice, healthy, fat fish, Adil.
Yeah. Now, when you're saying, when Luqman is talking about so much of food available and things, I'm just thinking that obviously there's water that has come, alhamdulillah, it's not just for the fish. I mean, there's such a lot of other aquatic animals and plants, etc., that are now going to just start sort of booming and the whole water system will sort of like come back to life.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, like you say, everything, it's not just fish, it's birds, it's frogs, it's snakes, it's all types of water, insects, everything. The only downside of dams close by to Joburg, what's happening is obviously all the rubbish is also getting flooded, you know, through stormwater drains and raw sewage is also getting into the system. So the downside of dams close to Joburg or close to the cities, especially like Arties or Rudakopis, those type of dams that take water from Arties, still very polluted. But inshallah, with the amount of rain that's come through, probably a lot of that crap will get flushed out. Yeah.
Flushed away and move into the sort of like the wet
ultimately into the ocean at the end of the day.
Luqman, in terms of this dinero, now everybody was talking about dinero, is, even the kids in school are saying, Madam, dinero is coming, you know? And one of the teachers was just saying that we know that it was the major part of the area that it was affecting was sort of Mozambique and, you know, the northern areas or the northern part of KZN and Mpumalanga, etc. Have you guys had any reports in terms of, you know, water systems in that area that have been affected by this huge storm?
Not as such as, not that I know of any damages or damages like, we know of our customers that showed us actual photos of the houses on the beach in Mozambique. There, I've seen it with my own eyes where customers' houses, the roofs got taken out, a bit of damage to the structure as well. But I haven't heard or seen anything of any other damage besides house roofs. And as far as water systems, all that happened was dams got very full. I mean, there's a dam out near in a northern province of our called Madal Litaba is the dam, and that overnight from 20% it got full on that, because what happened with the storm is Allah saved us and a lot of the country itself, where it came into towards Kruger Park area and then turned up going towards Zimbabwe and then into Botswana. So that's actually the part of that storm and the way it went through. We didn't get that much affected by it, and also not so much damage that I know of. But just one example is that Madal Litaba Dam that got full from 20 to 100 overnight. Yeah.
So in the Kruger Park as well, did it cross to the Kruger Park where the your water holes and your dams and all of that around there also got filled up, Luqman?
Gee, and you know, there was a bit of wind, you know, the heavy winds did come through, but I didn't read anywhere of any damage that was caused.
Sure.
And then most of the dams, like I say, Kruger Park's got a lot of small leach dams which must have filled up very quickly.
Alhamdulillah.
Fishing report, Lukman?
We haven't heard much, like I say, because of this abundant rain. You know, people obviously have been cautious and not going out, which is the right thing to do. In a heavy download, you know, you don't want to inconvenience yourself, get stuck in the mud, or fish anywhere that may be dangerous for you. So I think all across, you know, the last week, carp fishermen, bass fishermen, or fishermen in general, I think just stayed indoors and just relaxed and whatever. But prior to that, there was, you know, just before this big rains came, I always mention that fish do sense. They can sense it. Allah has given them that ability to sense. So prior to the rain, was very good fishing. We were hearing all over the show, carps, yellowfish, even on the Vaal River itself. The week before the big rains came, guys were catching really nice yellowfish on a fly. And then you had some nice guys went Vaal Dam and were catching exceptional, nice big carp, you know, for all the kerpa that were being caught all over the show. So, gee, you know, fishing was good. All round fishing was good before the rains came through as well.
So I we can just perhaps, like Lukman said, give it another week, let the water settle and bring in those good reports again for our listeners here on Radio Islamabad.
Inshallah. Lukman, in terms of you, because we haven't heard like a personal experience in a long time.
No, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I told you we went to that Borokalalo. That was the last. But inshallah, like I say, we're also planning just to wait a week or two and let the water settle, and inshallah we'll see. Another, just for information, area that's fishing very well is a saltwater fisherman, guys going up to Namibia. We've seen some huge kobo, kabeljau as it's commonly known, been caught. In the last 2 weeks, the reports that are coming through are exceptional. So if anybody is thinking of going to Namibia, it's a good thing the fish are biting. If you need any information, obviously coming to the shops. But we reached out some customers to our Pretoria store, and they just sent us photos yesterday, and it's unbelievable to see the size and the quality of fish they're catching now.
Lukman, very quickly, you know, I was just asking or telling Adil rather earlier on that you know, about 2 weekends ago we were out in Lostop and we were just speaking about of the trip itself. And then I said to him that previously, a few years ago, when you caught a fish from Lostop, yes, perhaps quality fish, but you know, you were kind of skeptical even holding that fish because you've seen an abscess or you've seen the fish just not looking healthy itself. Whereas this time around, the majority of the fish there that we actually caught actually looked much more healthier than previously in Lostop.
It's probably by water quality. You know, Lostop itself also dropped quite low. And water fresh or clean water came in. So it's probably because of that. And like I say, with the dam filling up, lots of food, good food in the grass in it, that makes them in good condition. So that's what I would put it to, probably just clean fresh water that's coming. You know, that was also sitting on about 30-40%. And I think by last week when you were there, when I saw it, was around about a 60% mark. So if you take the amount of fresh, clean water that's come through, it's probably the reason why those fish are in good condition.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Lukman, anything else for our listeners out there to share with our listeners?
Not for now, inshallah. I'll just continue remembering everybody, you know, remember every Muslim in the world. You know, we need to, although we enjoying so much good and favorable conditions, there's millions out there that are suffering. So in good times, we must also make shukr for what we have and think about those less fortunate than us.
100%. Lukman.
Words of wisdom from Lukman the wise. Is it okay to say that?
Lukman Hakim.
But you know what? I'm just thinking now, when you were telling us about the water and the quality, I mean, we know you are running a fishing tackle shop, basically. But the knowledge that you bring to the program, Alhamdulillah, I mean, we can ask you all kind of questions and you'll have an answer. So, listeners, please, if you need to know anything about fishing and you need to get the right gear, go and visit Lukman Mia at solid in this corner, because definitely he's a guy that will hook you up, inshallah.
It's only limited knowledge that we have, and whatever it is only from the blessings of Allah, nothing else.
I mean, let Allah bless you even more, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Lukman, she just, I don't think if you received this message here, right?
Hello.
But Lukman, you still there with us?
Yeah.
I said if you received this message, or Adil, perhaps you in that area there. But now, you know, this the WhatsApp message, unfortunately, you know, people just take and it's, whether it's made up or Allah alone knows what happens. But there was just a message going around now that says the dam wall of Pamit Fontaine Dam has just burst and water is on its way to Klagsdorp. People in close proximity of the strait are put on high alert with disaster management on standby. You received anything like that?
I haven't received anything, but it's also like you say, you know, last week even some messages were going around when that cyclone Danio hit.
Yes.
That photos and video clips that came through were, first of all, not even from something, I think somewhere in India and Yendi. So people must be, don't just receive and send, you know, first verify before you get forward. If it's about the dam wall that's just broken, rather phone somebody in Klagstop first, find out if that's what happened. You know, they're in the area, people in the area will know better. It's sad to see nowadays when any disaster or anything happens, you know, you get a whole lot of hundreds of video clips coming through, but then later on you find out it's like 10 years ago, 5 years ago,
yeah.
3 years, and then the one that came of the cyclone, well, it was a very nice, subhanAllah, a very nice photo of a huge cloud and the approaching cyclone, but next to a tar road. But what they said it's the one from Mozambique, but the tar road shows from one of a country, no, not an African country. Just, and people just notice it from the road markings, you know, where we don't have yellow lines is our center line. And then they hit the yellow line. So people pick it up very quickly that it's not real, it's not current. And we urge all, especially among the listeners, that if you want to send video clips or whatever, I think, you know, I myself first made that mistake where it came to me and I sent it on. But later on, I had to apologize on the group that, look, please make mark because it's not what it is and it's not what it says it is.
Mm.
So when it comes to these things, let's be more cautious, because what happens, it creates panic, it creates uncertainty, people get worried, they get, and sometimes it's purely for nothing and for the wrong reason they get worried.
Very deep. You know, in December, normally, Adil, you get that one Durban photo for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years that's going out, Durban, current situation in Durban. And the same picture is going on for the last how many years, especially this type of thing that can create panic and havoc amongst people. It should be verified all the time. Lukman, once again, Jazakumullah for your time. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. As-salamu
alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu.
So some interesting stuff there that Lukman said with regard to the fishing. I mean, the feed coming into the water now, but of course, like you said, I mean, the river system, you're not going to get around the river system and actually look for trouble now for yourself with the river flowing so fast and so vicious at the moment.
Yeah, I was actually going to tell you that when Uncle Idris sent me a photo of Wolo Express in a week. And now you see, Wolo Express is below where the dam is.
Okay.
But when they open up the sluice gates, normally when the dam is over 100%, then they would give them a warning. And then every gate they open up, I think he said it rises by 1 meter.
Sure.
So he sent the photo not of the river rising because of the gates. Obviously the gates are still closed. But there's water, because you remember they're on a slope. So when the water comes from the road roadside, it basically flows right down to get to the river. And there was such a lot of water that, you know, he was showing us, like, there's one whole area there on the farm where the games room is and the ponds, because you've been there before, I can tell you.
Yes, yes, yes.
That whole place was sort of covered underwater because of the quantity of water. And obviously because they've got those ponds there, so they, you know, they do collect water.
Okay,
and then the other thing is, and I'm talking about these farms because we closely related to these farms. We've been talking about these farms recently. Is Mulana Chibu's farm, the one that's in New Machawi, that's not far from what is it?
Poch.
Rajwater.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, in Poch.
Mm.
That farm where, you know, the first chalet that they've got at the bottom level
mm-hmm.
is completely covered in water. And normally, how can I explain to you, if I have to count in terms of meters, I would say it's about almost 6 or 7 meters high the water has come up.
Mm. Alhamdulillah, really.
That's a lot of water.
It is.
You know, that has basically come up. And that was just with the rains, you know, so, yeah, you know, water, river water, dangerous. Be very, very careful. Sometimes you are in an area, you're fishing, not realizing that the water is filling up from somewhere else. And
yes.
before you know it, you know, the water level is so high.
And with the sand, I mean, you know, that sand at the bottom of it just gives in. And you could be taken away like that. Adil, unfortunately, Siad is just indicating that he's got two batches of air actually to still catch up with. So we're going to have to wrap up today's program very quickly. And next week, inshallah, we'll continue with the program, Adil.
Inshallah, Mawlana Sajjad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all our wonderful listeners.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just 5 minutes to 9.